The aim of moral philosophy was to delineate how this happiness could be achieved in a moral fashion for the individual, the family, and society. Such happiness, said Aquinas, was achieved by way of the natural law which was discovered by reason. This natural law could also be rejected, thus making immoral behavior irrational and unnatural. As we have already seen, unreasonable behavior is usually adopted for selfish reasons when we have a mistaken, short-sighted idea of happiness, for example, murder, greed, or sloth. Aquinas sets out four cardinal virtues which assist us in achieving moral goodness. These are prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance. Of these, the major virtue is prudence. To modern eyes, this may appear a somewhat vague, prissy concept, the element of discreet discernment in action. The actual Latin word Aquinas uses is prudentia. This is a stronger notion, with connotations of wisdom, foresight, and skill, both social and intellectual. Yet it remains somewhat vague as a guideline. Aquinas appears to mean that we should cultivate in ourselves a suitable perception which enables us to come out on the side of the morally good. This may seem to us little more than pick the winner, ethically speaking, of course. But we live in uncertain times when the ethical field has many runners. In Aquinas's day, this was a one-horse race. The church was the invariable winner. The vagueness in his concept of prudence simply allowed for slight shifts in the church's position on moral matters. For more than a year, Aquinas continued lecturing at the University of Naples, working on his Summa Theologica and overworking on his usual prolific production of treatises, commentaries, sermons, works of exegesis, and the like. Then in the autumn of 1273, while working late one night in his cell, he had a mystical experience. In the midst of this, he saw a vision of the truth and the joy of life everlasting. Afterward, he gave up writing and became more solitary, explaining that all his intellectual arguments now seemed like mere chaff in the wind. As winter drew on, he became ill. Although he was only 50, years of overwork and absent-minded frugal living had taken their toll on even his robust frame. Aquinas now had only a few months to live. In the new year, a summons arrived from Pope Gregory X demanding Aquinas's presence at the Second Council of Lyon. This had been called in yet another attempt to heal the doctrinal rift between the Roman and the Byzantine churches. Aquinas was needed to explain the finer points of how their irreconcilable differences could still theoretically be overcome. Heedless of his illness, Aquinas set off on the 600-mile journey, which he was never to complete. By now he was barely aware of his surroundings. But as he journeyed north on the road from Naples, he found himself dimly recognizing the landscape around Aquino. On the hill across the valley, above the village of Roccasecca, he made out the familiar silhouette of the castle, where he was born in 1225.